Welcome to Father's House in Grantsville, Maryland. The message you're about to hear will greatly encourage your growth in the Lord. Join us as we together open the living Word.
Praise God. We're living stones this morning as you're seated. I want to teach this morning again another of the last of the three of an audience participation type of message where we just repeat the Word of God, speaking the Word of God into the atmosphere that God will create the fruit of our lips, that we can see phenomenal things take place in our lives. Can you say praise the Lord this morning? I'm going to preach and entitle this morning, Freedom of Speech. Praise God. Can you say praise God? Now, we've been praising Him over the last probably half hour, 40 minutes. Let's not stop praising Him now. Audience participation means, and it means as well to me, let's just get happy about the things of God. I tell you what, we have before us this morning, as I hold an iPad with the Strong's Concordance Bible on here, I'm excited that this Bible that I hold in my hand here is alive. This is living words in here this morning. Can you say praise the Lord? So that we ought to be excited about the things of God. It's not like we're going to a doctor's office where it's quiet or to the library where we're quiet about things. This is a time to be exuberant, a time to be lively, and a time to be happy about the things of God. Can you say praise the Lord? Now I want to put some notes down this morning leading up. You can go ahead and put the first scripture on the board. But I put this on my Facebook page from the mouth of the prophet yesterday, and I'll just read it word for word what the Holy Spirit spoke. As in the health of the body, a doctor can often assess our state of health by looking at our tongues, can't they? By looking at the state of our tongue, open up your mouth and say, ah. And so when we open up our mouth, the doctor can look at our tongue and be able to tell some things about the condition of our flesh and our body. James, in the book of James, tells us that a way a man uses his tongue is a test of his spiritual strength. Can you say praise the Lord? I've heard people say, boy, they're strong in the Lord. Yeah, but they forget the other part, and in the power of His might. See, there is no strength within ourselves. We must draw from the wellspring of strength. And the Bible says in Nehemiah 8 and verse 10, what's it say, Brother Ron? The joy of the Lord is our what? Is our strength. Amen. So he, the man of God, who is living in the strength of the Lord, can also say that if I can control my tongue, I am a perfect man. How many of you know that we are perfect men? James 3 and 2 tells us. Now, you're not going to see this scripture up on the board. I'm just setting a foundation for what God wants us to talk about this morning. But if we are a perfect man if we can bridle our tongues. Can you say praise the Lord? So Jeremiah also was told by the Lord that he could be God's mouthpiece only if he was careful about the way he used his tongue. Can you say amen? So that's why we got to be careful what we speak with our tongue. If something's in our heart, sometimes it's even anger that's in our heart. We want to let that slip out with bitter words, and we speak something out prematurely before we think about it, and the next thing you know, we've already dug a pit for ourselves. Can you say amen? So Jeremiah, in the 15th chapter in verse number 19, you'll not see that on the board either, but he is told, if you separate the precious from the vile in your conversation, you will be able to bridle your tongue to become healthy. Therefore, we should be very careful about the words that we choose to speak. Can you say amen? Every word that we speak can be a good word for edification, or it can be an idle word to be judged upon. Can you say amen? Jesus said that it is not what goes in a man that defiles him, but rather what comes out of a man is what defiles him. That is the very words of his mouth. I could also entitle this message this morning, A Pure Heart and Clean Lips, or Clean Lips and a Pure Heart. But I believe Holy Spirit has chosen it most appropriately over this holiday, the 4th of July weekend, to entitle it Freedom of Speech. We have the freedom of speech not because man made that possible, although man had a part, but because the Holy Spirit made it possible through the spirit of renewal and regeneration by becoming born again. Jesus said in Matthew 15, 18, but those things which proceedeth out of the mouth come from the heart, or the spirit of man, and they defile the man. make your mouth, and I like this because Holy Spirit spoke this. He said, make your mouth agree with what the Bible says, not with what the world makes you feel. Because if you're going to speak based on how you feel, just about 7/8 of the words that come out of your mouth are going to be negative. And they're not going to be for purification and edification, but they're going to be for damnation to the subverting of the hearers. And so what we need this morning to understand is that God has given us the supernatural ability on the inside of us because of the indwelling presence and power of the Holy Ghost, or the third person of the triune Godhead. He has given us the supernatural power to create our own destinies. He has given us the supernatural power to create the fruit of our lips from Isaiah 57:19, that we can speak good to those that are near and good to those, or peace to those that are afar off, and God will create the fruit of our lips and we'll see only positive things take place. Can you say praise the Lord? If you're following me so far, give the Lord a hand of praise in the house of God. Now, here are the confessions that I set and I wrote down a couple of weeks ago. I wrote down the three messages, and I believe this is part three. We could just label it as part three, freedom of speech. There's two kinds of confessions that are mentioned in the Word of God, in the Bible itself, that would benefit our everyday walk with the Lord as believers and help to keep our heart pure and our lips clean. Number one, and we're going to read it here, verses 8 through 10 of 1 John chapter 1. Number one is to confess your past sins for God to cleanse and to forgive you. That's one kind of confession. Let's read this together because it definitely is the Word of God. And I'm reading from the King James Version. 1 John chapter 1, verse 8. Notice the very first word, if. What's it say? Say it out loud. Praise God. It's not like we come here to be religious. Hey, I'll take the coat off and throw it on the ground. I don't really need it. I'm just doing it out of honor and respect for the house of God. But notice what it says. If we say, who is we? The born-again believer. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And I say this out loud every morning. I do this out loud in the morning. Before I get out of bed, I'll say this. Lord, I'm not saying that I don't have sin. I'm saying that I have sin. Because the very next verse and then the 10th verse is going to tell me what happens if I say that I haven't sinned or don't have sin. Now, let's read that again. If we say, what's the key word? If we say that we have no sin, put that in parentheses, have no sin, I stop right there. Lord, I'm not saying that I have no sin, but I'm saying that I do have sin. Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Can you say amen? We deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Now, notice what that says. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth's not in us. And I know some of the questions that might be going on in your mind right now, or you might be thinking up in your heart, well, how in the world can those two natures live in there at the same time? Because there's a sin nature in the flesh, still working in the members of the flesh, and there's also a supernatural ability within our spirit called the Holy Spirit that will equip us to be able to say, that's the truth that is in me. So if I'm saying that I haven't sinned, that my flesh no longer exists, then what I'm saying is that I'll have no need of the Holy Spirit to be in me to convince me and to reprove me of that sin. In the book of John, chapter 16, and verse number 11. Now let's go to the next verse. Watch this. Watch the very first verse, the very first word. There it is again. If we what? Confess. Got to do something. Got to open up the mouth. Freedom of speech. If we confess our sins. So verse 8 told us that we have sin, right? So then it says, if we confess our sins, he, meaning Jesus, is faithful and just, and the word, the Greek word, and is kai, the same as. So let's read it that way in the Greek. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and the same as just to forgive us our sins, plural tense, and there it is again, it's kai, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now go to the very next verse, verse 10. Watch this. What's the very first word? If we say that we have not sinned. Now, I thought it already said that. No, it didn't say that. Verse 8 said, if we say that we have no sin. Now, verse 10, we're way up here as verse 9 was sandwiched between the two. We leap up to verse 10, and it says, if we say that we have not sinned. Now, if you have sinned, you're going to sin. Okay? So, if we say that we have not, you can underline those two words, sinned. What happens? We make him, Jesus, a what? And the same as his word is not in us. So, his word is not in you if you tell him, I haven't done it. I haven't done it. It's like the Three Stooges syndrome. One hits the other, the other one hits the other, the other one goes to hit the other one, and there's no one there. The first one was the guilty one. Adam was the guilty one. Jesus is not the second Adam. Everybody say that. Jesus is not the second Adam. He's the last Adam. A lot of people say he's the second Adam. If there's a second Adam, there must be a third and a fourth. And you could go as far as you want. But the last Adam accomplished righteousness for us that we would not have to sin. We could live above sin. But if we do sin, which we will because of the sin nature, the members of the flesh that are weak sometimes and we don't yield to the members of the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us. So what the Scripture is trying to tell us here this morning is that we need to follow Jesus Christ by speaking the word of faith that's on the inside of us, telling ourselves, I've sinned. I've come short of the glory of God. Now let me confess that sin, put it under the blood, and that sin will no longer be remembered against me, and I will not call God who lives in me a liar. Come on, somebody. I don't know about you. Number two, the second kind of confession is that the other confession is that will help us is to confess or speak out of your mouth the word of God, watch this, as a type of meditation to build your faith upon, and to work it into this new covenant that we're standing in. Now let's go to the very next scripture, Proverbs 18 and verses 20 and 21. Can we read that together? Proverbs 18 and verses 20 and 21. Here we go. A man's what? Belly is growling right now for food. No, we got a ways to go before 12 o'clock. A man's belly shall be, that's right. I like how you said that because that's how you say it. A man's belly shall be, that means futuristic, shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. In other words, but if you don't have fruit in your mouth, your belly's not going to be satisfied. You have to speak something out of your mouth and not keep it in your belly or the heart of man in order for something to be fruitful for you. Now watch this. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth and with the increase of his lips shall he be what? Verse 21. Watch this. Death. Read it out loud. Death and life are. Stop right there for a minute. Let's read it that way. Those very four words. Death and life are. Not might or maybe. But death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. That scripture just keeps coming back up, doesn't it? Can you say praise the Lord? Now watch this when I did my research. The Hebrew word for lips in verse number 20, if you could back that up for just a moment. In verse number 20, the Hebrew word for lips is S-A-P-H-A-H, and it's sapha. Sapha, and it means the boundary of our binding language. Now watch this. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth and with the increase of his boundary of binding language shall he be filled. We have a boundary to bind language. And when we bind language through our lips and out of the mouth that we speak, because out of the abundance of the heart the mouth will speak, we can keep everything in control in front of us in the atmosphere that we create. The atmosphere that we create. It doesn't have to go 2 foot beyond your mouth or a foot beyond your mouth. Sometimes it does go a foot beyond your mouth and you even change feet. Sometimes we speak something, and not only do we speak it to the subverting of the hearers, but which means to the damnation of the hearers, what we speak coming out of our mouth, man, that didn't sound good. Yuck. That just didn't sound good. You know, and what we do is we just take that thing and we turn that conversation around with the words and we say, well, I don't believe that. I will not come into covenant with that. Oh, well, my body, it just racks in pain every day. Well, I got about two hours sleep last night, and I was up saying, I refuse to believe this. I refuse to believe this. I refuse to believe this. I speak your word. Your word says that I'm healed. Your word says I'm already healed. And if I'm already healed, I'm going to put my head and go to sleep like the Bible says. And so, praise God, that's what I did. Finally, I just kept wrestling and wrestling, and I thought, just speak the word. And when you speak the word, your mind settles. Your body settles, and the nerve ending settles, and everything around you, if you're 6 foot tall, that's all further you have to work for. From head to toe to tell that body to be still and know that he is God. So I want to read that last part of that scripture again in verse number 20. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, so what we speak that comes out of our heart ought to satisfy us, so we need to keep our heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. Proverbs 4:23, so that we can say, and with the increase of his lips, or with the increase of the boundary of our binding language, we can say, peace, be still. Isn't that awesome? We have that kind of power on the inside of us. Let's go to Psalm 39 and verses 3 and 4. The entitled name of this message this morning is what? Freedom of speech. Anyone listening? Freedom of speech. Psalm 39, verse 3. See, a lot of times what we want to do is we want someone to get up and just preach this beautiful, eloquent message, and everybody just oohs and ahs. I would rather get up and just read the Word and see what the Holy Spirit is saying to us at that particular time. Because if we pre-plan a message, put it all together, write it all down, and we start reading it or we start talking about it, it may be something that no one needs to hear. But when we open up the Word of God and we read and we allow the Holy Spirit to speak through these earthen vessel lips of clay, it's going to touch someone's life that's there that particular morning. And that's my prayer this morning. Let's read it in Psalm 39, verse number 3. How many of you still having fun so far? Slip your hand up and say, praise the Lord. Come on, let's praise the Lord together this morning. My heart, read it. My heart, stop there. Whose heart? Make it personal. My heart was hot within me. The Hebrew word, when it talks about my heart was hot within me, it talks about a binding fire. We used the word bind there a little bit ago. There's a binding fire that's swirling on the inside of me that I can't. You ever seen a fire? The old jokesters on Halloween put dog doo-doo on the newspaper. Put it in front of the door, knock on the door, ring the doorbell. Somebody comes up. I've done it before. I was ordinary way back when. And you ring that doorbell and you run. And the bad thing is you got to watch you don't step in it. And you run around the fire and the thing's out and they're coming out and they're just stomping on it. And it takes a while to put it out because there's a binding fire. Johnny Cash sing about it. It's a ring of fire. Hallelujah. My heart was hot within me. In other words, nothing could put this out. Jeremiah said it's like a fire shut up in my bones. My heart was hot within me. While I was musing, the fire burned. Then spake I with my tongue. Verse number 4. Watch this. Lord, make me to know mine end. And the measure of my days, what it is, brother, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. You want to get frail? You listen to messages like this and you hold it back and say, I'm not going to speak that. He's just preaching that and that's what he believes. I've had people to say that over the years. Praise God. Oh, that's just what you believe. No, it's the Word of God. I've been reading it word for word and telling you what the Hebrew says, and it's for every one of us. Preached a message in here more than once on the 7 Hebrew words of praise, and someone said, oh, well, he was condescending on that. Just because I asked someone to lift a hand and praise the Lord, I'm condescending? If they could do it under the Hebrew, how much more can we praise the Lord in the New Testament scriptures under a great and far better testament written in the blood of Jesus? Come on, somebody. Now watch this. In verse number 3, As we go back there for just a moment, the Hebrew word for the word spake in verse 3 is dabar. D-A-B-A-R, pronounced dabar. Watch this. It means to speak, to subdue, to bring into order. Now watch this. My heart was hot within me. While I was musing, what? The fire burned. Then I, what? Spoke to subdue something, to bring it into order with my tongue. These last 3 weeks, last three times I've ministered, last week and this week, back to back, we've been talking about speaking and the power of the spoken word. You see, that's why David said in Psalm 119, verse 11, I've hid thy commandments in my heart. No, I've hid thy word in my heart that I might not sin against thee. So it's the word that we need to hide in our heart or our spirit man. Hide it in there. Meditate upon it day and night. Be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water, whose fruit shall come forth in his season. And whatsoever we set our hand to do, it'll what? It's going to prosper. Come on. Now, speak this. I want to share something with you. I want you to begin to speak something with me. Out of your mouth, speak it, and receive the grace and strength of the Lord Jesus Christ to walk with a clean heart and also with clean hands and a pure heart and also with clean lips. Now, how many of you know we can have clean lips? We can have clean lips. Just depends on what comes out of our heart. Romans 6 and verse number 11. Romans 6 and verse number 11. Read this with me. Likewise. Now, you can see, I know because I was raised in Fairmont, West Virginia. But you can see here that Paul was from West Virginia. Likewise, reckon. Reckon. It's in the Word. Praise God. Hallelujah. Someone said it's in the Word. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be what? Indeed unto sin. But, conjunction, what's your function? But alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. I dare somebody to stand up and say, I'm alive. Now, something just happened to you. The Holy Spirit lives in you, and that makes you alive. But all the time, and every one of us know this, because we live in the flesh, we don't always act alive. That's true. Because the first thing that comes in, you know, you're going down the road, and you have a flat tire. And before the thing was flat, it was bald as can be. Brother Hagin made this illustration years ago. And he said, before it happened, you were praising God, all right. And all of a sudden, that tire started singing tenor. You could hear it singing tenor. And it was just a whistling in that high tenor voice. And then, boom, and you start swerving all over the road. And he said, you get out and you find the spare tire in the back, and it looks just about as bad. And you put it on, you're going down the road, and it starts singing bass. You know, what are you going to do now? What are you going to do now? And then it explodes. And then finally, the third and the fourth, you know, they're singing in four-part harmony. And you're going down the road, and all of a sudden you're trying to figure out what to do, because if the last one goes out, then you've had basically just three bald tires, and the last one you were going to put on is a good tire, but then the last one didn't like singing by itself, so it immediately became bald, and they all sing four-part harmony. Amen? But they sang, I'll tell you what I'm going to do now. I'm going to go home. I'm going to act like the Bible says. I'm going to ride on these four bald tires until the four good tires come along. And I'm going to speak that out of my mouth until that begins to manifest. Now, watch this in Romans 6 and verse number 11 again. Likewise, read it out loud, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. Now, you could actually put a semicolon there, too, because you're getting ready to add to that. But, what's your function? But alive unto God through Jesus Christ, who? 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 Our Lord. Now, he's either Lord, as the old saint of God told me years ago, he's either Lord over everything in your life or he's Lord over nothing at all. So what are we going to do when those four tires start singing? Four-part harmony. What are you going to do now? That's what they were singing going down the road. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to act like now. I know I'm alive because the Holy Spirit's on the inside of me, but I got to do something about that liveliness with my mouth. So now I got to open up my mouth, and the Hebrew word, or the Greek word for alive, watch this, is zao, Z-A-O, and it means you have to be made quickened or made alive. So the only way that you can do that is to open up your mouth and speak what's on the inside of you. And then that binding fire that's on the inside of you is going to get loosed out of your mouth, and there's going to be a whirlwind of fire on the outside of you to create an atmosphere of positive faith. And when you speak, God's going to create the fruit of your lips. Come on, somebody. I don't know about you. It's just the word. Romans 6:14. Watch this. Romans 6 and verse 14. For sin. Anybody else here? For sin shall not. For sin, missing the mark, shall not have dominion over you or over me. So here is the thing. Sin shall not have dominion over me, even if I miss the mark. That's what that's saying. Watch this. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but you're under grace. The first time that someone sins, a Christian wants to kick them. Or a Christian just, you know, straightens their back up and looks and says, I'd never do that. Oh, yes, you would. The moment that you keep a zipper on your mouth, you're going to do that. Because God made you to speak. God made every one of us to speak and to say something. You may not be a preacher of righteousness. You may not be a part of fivefold ministry, but if you're born again, God made you. I don't care if you whisper it behind the scenes and never say a word in front of anyone. God wants you to open up your mouth and say something about what's on the inside of you. Can you say amen? Say this with me. Sin shall not have dominion over me, for I'm not under the law, but I'm under grace. Now Romans 8 and verses 1 and 2, if you put that on the board. Can you say praise the Lord? Amen. Praise God. So these are messages that we've heard over the years, but we need to be reminded of them sometimes. Because you know when we need to be reminded? The first time you look from my standpoint of view out and you see frowns upon the faces. What am I going to do now? Well, and you're like, now I know they've learned this all these years and so have I. And I get in those places about sometimes, what am I going to do now? Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to act upon the Word of God, and the only way I can act upon it is the Word that's in me. I'm going to open up my mouth, and I'm going to speak about it because I have freedom of speech. That's my God-given constitutional right to speak about something. Watch this. There is what? There is therefore, when you see the word therefore, what is it? Now. When? There's therefore now, right now, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And all the denominational people said amen. See, and they'll stop there. But it doesn't say that. Watch this. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh. But, conjunction, what's your function? After the Spirit. Verse number 2. Now watch this. I'm having fun. I don't know about you. Some of you, I'm looking out of the corner of my eye. You need to notify your face if you're having fun. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Did you know that even under grace, there's a law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus? There's no laws in the New Testament. Well, just said it. It's not the law of bondage, which was our schoolmaster that led us to Christ, but is for the law of the Spirit of life. The Spirit of life has a law. Meaning that if the Spirit of life is in you and you don't say something about the Spirit of life that's in you, life's not going to come out of you to create something. So watch this. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Because it has made me free, I don't have to go around sinning willfully. I don't have to allow something to control my life anymore. You have got to speak something out of your mouth. If you ever speak anything, speak Romans chapter 8 and verses 1 and 2 over and over and over and over again, because the spirit of life that is in Christ Jesus, that law has made me free. Not as going to, has made me free. Past tense, from the law of sin and death. Sin and death cannot destroy you or work in the members of your flesh unless you allow it. Come on, somebody. I don't know about you. So let's say it out loud. There's therefore. Now, no condemnation applied to me because I'm in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Or in other words, we could say the law of the Spirit of life that's in the Word of God, who is Christ Jesus. When I speak it, has made me free from the law of sin and death. Now watch this. 1 Corinthians 9:27. Hold on. The food's still in the buffet down at Penalps and it won't go cold. 1 Corinthians 9:27. I'm having fun. I don't know about you, but I'm having fun up here. But I keep under my body, down here somewhere, and bring it into subjection, lest, that word in the Greek means for the fear of, that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Now, this is what I put down. I keep my body under control. And I bring it into subjection when it gets out of line. And the Greek word for subjection means to be a slave driver. In other words, when my body starts to get out of line, I get the whip out and I chase it with the spirit that's on the inside of me. Whoosh, whoosh. Come into alignment. Come into order. Soulish realm, come into order as well. Let's go to Galatians 2 now, verses 20 and 21. Everyone knows this. You can quote these things by heart. You're doing well. I am crucified with Christ. Let's stand up and read that, can we? Come on. Let's read that thing out loud. I know it's like all of us, our attention span is caught between the middle of a steak and mashed potatoes and gravy. Praise God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Pat Robertson always used to say, Lord Jesus, live your life through me. And I could never understand. I'm like, I need to live for him. He saved me so I can live for him. But that's what this says. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And Kai, it always is Kai in the New Testament. K-A-I, which means the same as. And the same as the life which I now live. So not only is he living his life through me, but now I'm living the life. I love it. See, it's a dual thing that's happening here. He's living his life through me as I yield myself to his word. And now the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me in order so that I didn't have to try to live by the law anymore and be defeated all the time. That's what that says. Come on, somebody. Now watch verse 21. Watch this. Don't be seated yet. Let's read it together and then you can be seated. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness comes by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. In other words, you can be seated. What God is saying, because of the righteousness of Christ through the shed blood of Jesus, it's not a fight anymore. You don't have to be frustrated yourself or frustrate the grace of God. Because it's not a what? It's not a fight anymore. Galatians 5:16. Got a couple more scriptures and then we're going to finish this up. Galatians 5:16. Watch this now. This I say then, come on, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, if you were to read that in Green's literal translation, it would say this. This I say then, walk in the Spirit because you do, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh and fail. That's what Green's literal translation, that's how it reads when we get it out of the original language. Now, this is what I put down. The Greek word for walk in this verse means, because of the supernatural ability of God's presence within me, I can deport, which means to behave or conduct in a manner, I can deport myself into the supernatural realm of God's Spirit and overcome all fleshly desires. Because I walk in the Spirit, I will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, hurry. Ephesians 2:6. Watch this. We're going to read this. Ephesians 2:6 out loud. Now, come on, let's read it out loud. And has raised us up together. You're not by yourself. And made us sit together. Not only are we raised up together, but someone said, well, God lifted me up and I'm sitting up here all by myself. No, you're not. I'm with you. You're with me. And has raised us up together and has made us sit together in heavenly places where? Praise God. God, this is what I put down, has raised me together with Him and with others and made me sit together with Him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus to find the answer. Hallelujah. Philippians 1:6. There's just two more. This one and one more. Philippians 1:6 and then Matthew 15:18. Philippians 1:6, watch this. Being confident. Being what? How many of you are confident? How many of you are not confident today? It's all right to raise your hands. I just don't feel confident. It's not based on feelings. It's based on acting upon the Word. Being confident of this very thing that He, who's He? Jesus. He which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of who? This is what I put down. Say it with me. I am confident of this very thing, that He who has begun a good work in me is not slack concerning His promises and will continue until the return of Jesus Christ to work in me. Praise God. Now watch this. Matthew 15:18, if you'll put that up on the board. This is what I put down. This is a closing statement. Keep your heart clean by controlling the words of your mouth. Say that with me. I'm going to keep my heart clean by controlling the words of my mouth. Jesus said that it is not what goes in a man that defiles him, but it is rather that what comes out of him, it is the words of his mouth that defiles him. Let us read it together and slowly. Watch this. But those things... But those things which proceed out of the freedom of speech comes forth from the heart, and they defile the man. Someone said, follow your heart. But yet the psalmist David said, the heart is wicked above all things. Who can know it? It's deceitful. So don't follow your heart. Follow the Word. Follow the heart of the Word. Follow the Word of God. You follow your heart. Well, they just fell in love. Their hearts were just knit together. David and Jonathan's hearts were just knit together with the love of God. Well, the word heart in the Old Testament is not spirit in the New Testament. The word heart in the Old Testament was actually soul. So it's kind of got reversed around, okay? So this is what I put down. Make your mouth say this with me. I'm going to make my mouth agree with what the Bible says. And not with what the world makes me feel like. Would you stand with me this morning? Freedom of speech. I believe every one of us in this room can stand to our feet like this, mount a pulpit, open the Word, and start preaching from the Word of God. We're all commanded to do that. I believe that whether you preach two sermons in your lifetime or close to 10,000, God will create the fruit of your lips when you open up your mouth. That's why sometimes today that's nothing is satisfying, and people are always going from here to there searching, looking, where can I find the answer? The answer is not in going and looking for a revival somewhere in the foothills of West Virginia. the answer is not going to Lakeland, Florida to look for an outpouring there, although there have been great outpourings there. And may we be a part of all of them with the saints of God in light. But what the answer is that revival starts on the inside of us. The Holy Spirit is living on the inside of us if we've been born again. While every head is bowed in this auditorium this morning, every eye's closed, and no one is looking around. You would lift your hand up this morning and say, I'm not living right. Please, every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around. I'm not living right, and I need to get right with God now. Would you slip your hand up right now in the auditorium and say, that's me. That's me. Are there any hands at all? Please, no one's looking around. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Is there someone in here you've never received the Lord as your personal Savior? Would you slip your hand up right now and say, that's me. I need to be saved. I'm going to split hell wide open, and I know that, but I need to be saved. Are there any at all in this auditorium? Maybe you're here this morning and you have problems in your family and you cannot see the answer or the light at the end of the tunnel. While no one's looking around, I'm not going to embarrass you by asking you to come up here, but I'm going to ask you to slip your hand up and say, that's me. I have problems in my family. No one's looking around, please. 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 No one's. There's two. There's three. There's four hands that have went up. That you have problems in your family. And we're going to be praying about that this week, that God would just reverse this curse and bring forth the anointing in your family. And as you speak the word of God and open up your mouth with the freedom of speech over this 4th of July holiday weekend, God is going to see you through. God is going to give you the answer, and it's going to come right out of your own mouth. You are what you speak. Hallelujah. And you will become what you speak. Your destiny is about ready to be revealed and reeled in Jesus' name. Are there any others in here this morning that need a touch in your body? I want you to lift your hand right now. A touch in your body. Lift it high. There's one. Anyone else, please? Is there anyone else? There's two. The scripture says, harden not your hearts as in the former days or as in the days of the provocation. If God is calling you about something this morning, you need to respond to it. He said, call upon me while I am near in Isaiah 55:6. If you need healing in your body this morning, you've raised your hand, slip out of your seat. Ushers, would you come and stand in behind them this morning? We're going to pray a corporate prayer and believe God for a total healing and restoration this morning. Are there any others you need a touch in your body? In somebody's knee, God has said this morning early, somebody needs a touch in their knee, and they're getting that right now in the blood name of Jesus. Healing is happening. Healing is happening. Healing is happening. Are there any others? Are there any others before we pray? Now, gentlemen, just lay hands upon them now. Lay hands upon them. And I want all three of you just to pray this prayer and say it out loud. God's going to create the fruit of your lips. Lord Jesus Christ, according to your word that cannot lie, in 1 Peter chapter 2, in verse 24, you declared, with your stripes we were healed. I heard that with my ears. And now I'm speaking it with my mouth, then I'm already healed. Because were is past tense. Thank you, Lord, for my healing. Now let it manifest in my body. In Jesus' name. Now continue to praise Him until the manifestation of that comes about. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Somebody's digestive tract, the Lord is healing in this room this morning. Just receive it. You don't have to come forward, but just receive it in the name of Jesus in the digestive tract. You don't have to come forward to be healed. Just hear and be healed in Jesus' name. In the digestive tract, God is healing. God is healing. God is healing. A nervous stomach to where you can't digest your food properly, and you have a sore stomach all the time. Just receive your healing in Jesus' name right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's give Him a hand of praise in the house of God. Praise God. The Lord is, the Bible says, a strong tower. We need to run into it and be saved.
You've been listening to Father's House. For more information or to download today's sermon, visit us at fathershouse.info. And remember, it is written, "My house shall be called the house of prayer."